disgusting pig alive in the world.
Shut up for a second, please.
We're in a cultural war,
Oh, no, we won't.
How do you think you are talking to me like that?
I resent the fact that your implication that only you are a Canadian.
The culture war is back.
All right, let's get into it. We're calling it the culture clash, don't you know?
Whoa.
Yes, a nuanced change, but still the culture clash is in effect. And here we've got our panel that has assembled this morning. Greta Vosper is the minister at the West Hill United Church and founder of the Center for Progressive Christianity. How's Greta?
Great. Happy New Year, John.
And to you, I haven't spoken. You're right.
Yeah.
First time in 2014, so good to have you with us. Been a while since Faith Goldie has graced the airwaves here. Reporter and conservative commentator with Sun TV News.
No progression in my church.
All right, it's all regression. Well, you see, or maybe you don't have a church. I don't know.
I mean, I do. I attend it every Sunday.
Okay, I thought you were a secular humanist of the highest order.
You know me better than that, Johnny.
I do. All right, but, well, so you're both sort of on the same page, except that Greta's with Progressive Christianity, and I guess the book was Christianity Without Christ.
No, the book was Without God.
Without God, okay. Well, you know, for some, it's
close enough.
Almost one
of
the same, yes.
Yes.
But rather than starting,
coming out in the States this year, so I'm very excited about that, yeah.
Good for you. All right. Well, it should be a real humdinger in the Bible Belt.
I'm sure it will.
Well, you'd be traipsing down through Alabama and Arkansas and places like that.
Well, right now, I just have North Carolina booked, but we're getting south. We're going south.
Well, good luck in Chapel Hill. But still, you know what we've got here is a clash, really, religious values versus those of, and some say it's a religion, secular humanists. In Quebec today, they're starting the debate on this secular charter that's been proposed by the Parti Québécois, which is kind of interesting because the guy who spearheads this was saying, look, this situation up at York University where a professor actually outed the school when the school told him he had to accommodate a young man who didn't want to integrate with women in a class study, a personal kind of a situation. We know the story. He had to be accommodated. And the guy in Quebec is saying, you see, the rest of Canada needs a charter just like a secular charter that's being proposed in Quebec. Faith Goldie, do you follow that logic?
Absolutely not. They're both draconian situations, though entirely different. One is an individual case of one man who, oddly, studying sociology, really knows nothing of Canadian society within which we value both genders equally. And he's asking for some sort of gendered apartheid. This is unreasonable accommodation. But say a person working at some sort of government building wearing a cross isn't really hurting anyone else or anyone else's feelings, as far as I know. For sure, they haven't made any of those sorts of complaints made known to the public. So both draconian, yes, but very different situations.
All right, over to Greta Vosper.
I agree with Faith that the request by the young man at York University was unreasonable and that it shouldn't have been accommodated. But the challenge is that the university decided that he should have been accommodated, despite the fact that the professor in the situation had consulted with everyone with whom he felt within the religious tradition of the young man who had not actually disclosed what religious tradition he was a member of. And all of those professionals and practitioners had argued that they could see no reason, no merit for the request. So he did his due diligence and he made his decision. And York University has mandated that religious tolerance be extended to the point that we actually go backwards in terms of gender equity and the integration of gender within the classroom.
Well,
so that's an issue. That's a huge issue, and it's a problem. And I think that the distinguishing characteristic that needs to be lifted up out of these is, where do we grant public privilege to religious traditions? Wearing a cross is not an offense to me. Demanding that everyone in a community wear a cross is an offense, because that becomes a public mandate. And so personal faith is a personal thing. It's not a public thing. And so I'm of a divided mind about how individuals can express their faith, but I'm very clear that in a public forum, faith cannot take precedence.
Well, you know, and at York University, effectively, one of the arguments was this guy wasn't putting women out. He just chose to do these things online, even though the requirement was to come in and join the females in the study group. Could he have been reasonably accommodated to continue to do everything solely online?
Well, that's and I'm ashamed to say that's why I think York University actually oddly made the right decision, and it was the legally prudent decision as well, because should this have taken its way all the way to, say, some sort of human rights tribunal, they probably would have had legs to stand on insofar as, or the boy, Mr. X, would have had a leg to stand on, because he'd say, look, this is reasonable accommodation, this is my faith, et cetera, et cetera. And other people take this course online anyway. Yeah, but those people don't live and reside in the greater Toronto area. So yes, it was legally prudent, but the way that York University's provost went about it was essentially to enact as edict Saudi laws within the university, when really what he should have said is that we categorically condemn this way of thinking, especially in a liberal democratic society, especially in a sociology class of all things. But we are accommodating this boy for reasons of equality with his peers who also take this course online.
You know what I found kind of a curiosity here? You got religious accommodation trumping these other considerations. So in a hierarchy of rights, that becomes paramount. Yet you've got, at say, the Catholic School Board in Peel and other precincts, when the Catholic school says we want to, we don't want to accommodate gay straight alliances, it's being forced upon them. So isn't there a bit of a paradox or hypocrisy here, Greta?
Well, I don't think that we should have two school systems anyway. And I believe that a school system that's being funded by the government, by every taxpayer, not just Catholic taxpayers, that it needs to abide by the laws of the land, and it needs to make available to its students the same kinds of interest groups that are made available in other ones and supported by those hierarchies and those
establishments. But that's besides that's totally aside from the point, because when it comes to the legality around it, Catholic schools have denominational rights. That is part
exactly,
of our
Constitution. Exactly, which is why they shouldn't be funded.
So then we should do that through the front door, not through the back door. That should be examined within the court of law, as opposed to trying to sneak GSAs through the back door. Point of the matter is that we have unreasonable accommodation for gays and Muslims and for no one else.
Well, which leads to, I guess, the other question. At some point, would the real logical extension of this argument be just ban religions outright from having any rights? Would you strip religious groups and religious expression from the Charter of Rights, Greta Vosburgh?
Well, I think that there's the conversation that I think needs to happen over the course of the next decade. I think we need to talk about whether or not how people take, you know, act upon their religious beliefs and how they're able to do so in the public forum. I mean, if I want to practice a particular belief, I can do that within my home. But if what I'm doing goes against the rights of the other people in my home, then I think that that's got far-reaching.
Well, is that what freedom is, though? Freedom within one's home and not on the streets? I'm sorry. Freedom to practice is to pray where I please, to
I don't care where you pray.
Churches and schools and hospitals in the name of my God and
absolutely,
my religion.
Absolutely, go for that. I have nothing wrong with that.
Okay, so
but
then
I do have something wrong with if you put up a school in your name of your faith, or you put up a hospital in the name of your faith and you're getting government money for it, then I don't think that you get to enforce your religious traditions.
But that's
on
what's
the people
happening
that
here
that.
With York. York is a publicly funded university, and they are enforcing Sharia law, essentially, which is gender segregation outside of
and
a place of worship.
And I'm opposed to that. I think that they made a mistake.
Yet our premier says that she believes that York University did the right thing.
Well, there you go. That's the conundrum that I guess we won't solve here today. Here's something else happening locally I've got to run by you, because we've had the Supreme Court make a ruling, and you see all this stuff comes down to the finer points of law. When it comes to prostitution, as we well know, before Christmas time, struck down the three impediments to unbridled prostitution for all intents and purposes in the country. Now, notwithstanding that the government comes back in a year, they've been given a period of grace, come up with another law if they so please. Otherwise, it's all systems go. And if that's the case, Giorgio Mammoliti on Monday was in Niagara-on-the-Lake with the operators of strip clubs. I guess it's the adult entertainment industry in Ontario was convening. And he was there on an exploratory session, we're led to believe, looking at whether brothels would be maybe best zoned along with strip clubs. In other words, you know, it's sort of a one-stop satisfaction center for men primarily. But do you think there's anything to that? It becomes a zoning issue as much as anything I see. Do you think this is an inevitability, Faith Goldie, that this is going to be brothels at strip clubs?
No, I think it's kind of hilarious, though, that there is sort of an underlying insinuation that strippers must also be prostitutes to a certain degree. And look, when it comes to zoning, I mean, there's one strip club along the Queensway, which is just a hop, skip, and a jump around away from an elementary school. So I don't think that zoning them close to strip clubs is a great idea. Though I kind of like the idea of the Vice City Island. I kind of liked, you know, giving the hippies what they voted for, this idea of progressiveness, you know, just ship all the brothels down there. But look, ask me, in this one-year stay period that we've been given, the feds are going to come down hard on Johns specifically, and they are going to criminalize or really expand the criminalization of the purchase of sex. So I don't think that brothels are going to be anything that we're going to be seeing coming.
How would they criminalize the purchase of sex? I don't understand where that would work or would meet a legal test. I mean, could the guy just say, look, I'm buying a product that's been rendered illegal, isn't it?
Unless the feds come down
and
enact some sort of punitive measures against John specifically. They say that they're considering.
But wouldn't that be discriminatory? Wouldn't a guy sort of say, wait a minute, she's given license to practice her trade without any kind of fear of the law penalizing, and then this guy has to worry about that? Wouldn't that be a human rights complaint?
No. That's why it should be on the island, so they've got the whole ferry ride to think about it.
Greta Vosper, do you think it's inevitable we're going to see brothels springing up in Toronto within the year?
I don't know what the zoning issues are going to be. I think that, yeah, we'll end up having them spring up because this is going to be a money grab. I mean, there's going to be people who want to make money on this, and if legislation comes into effect, I hope it's legislation that controls that or manages that in some way that doesn't, you know, just end up using women for the lining of other people's pockets.
The best case scenario to manage this, which has now been rendered legal.
I'm sorry?
What's the best way to...
I don't spend a lot of time thinking about what brothels should be,
scenario
is.
It's a societal concern. That's
the
culture
clash. I think Faith is wrong in saying that zoning brothels close to strip clubs suggests that every stripper needs to be a prostitute. I don't think that's the case, but I think it's a marketing thing. You've got your clientele right there. Why not do the zoning right there? I think that's probably what Mammalady's talking about, and that makes perfect sense to me.
Well, yeah, I guess he figures it's more or less under one roof and can be controlled a little more appropriately for community standards.
That's why I have opticians next to, you know, the glasses store.
Well, okay.
No,
like
sort of
you got your
thing.
Market there.
All right, let's see if folks agree or disagree. I'm going to open the lines on that note. The brothels at strip clubs idea, does it seem inevitable that it's coming? Do you think the government should step in and perhaps crack down on John's, dry up the supply, is it, or is that the demand? That would be the demand. All right, we'll come back in a moment with Faith Goldie from Sun TV News and Greta Vosper, minister at the West Hill United Church.